your weekend breakfast
with Refilwe Mbakanyane on 702.
Let's walk the talk.
This past Wednesday, the 24th of March, the global community once again marked and commemorated World TB Day. This year's theme was The Clock is Ticking. And the Health Implementing Partners Group, they're a collective of health technical organizations in South Africa, hosted a webinar ahead of World TB Day. And the webinar, you know, featured a number of South African and international speakers, and they outlined the current challenges with TB control, as well as the impact of COVID-19 on TB, tuberculosis control activities. And to speak more on this is a resident GP, as well as CEO of Proactive Health Solutions, Dr. Fundile Nyathi. Good morning, Dr. Nyathi.
Good morning, Priscilla, and good morning to all the 702 listeners.
Now, Dr. Nyathi, tuberculosis is one disease that I think we possibly don't talk about as much as we should. I mean, big strides have been made over the years in treating tuberculosis, but you know, the abiding theme that runs through conversations around TB are that people need to complete the entire treatment process, entire treatment regime. In World TB Day, they were focusing on exactly that, on the clock is ticking. Tell us more about this theme and what the current pressures are on a tuberculosis control.
Yeah. Sometimes I think we just get fatigued, in talking about things that are still very important. We see this with HIV, we see it with TB, and even with COVID, people are starting to get tired of hearing about these things. But I think it is very important when you have a disease whose germ was, discovered in 1882. This is almost 140 years ago. A disease that is treatable, curable, treatable, mm-hmm. preventable. Yet so many people still die from this disease every year. I mean, 10 million people a year get infected with TB globally, and 1.4 million people die from TB every year. And then the question is, why? Why are we still having this kind of situation? And you've mentioned one of those is that, to treat TB, one has to take treatment properly for a period of a minimum of 6 months,
mm-hmm.
And that is the long, it's an ask, the serious ask for many people. Most people, struggle to finish a 1 week, antibiotic treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're talking 6 months, it becomes a problem. But when you're talking then TB outside of the lungs, it may be anything from 9 months to 12 months. So the duration of treatment and the fact that you must take that treatment daily is one of the challenges. But also, we're dealing with a germ that is so, so clever. It mm-hmm. mutates, it changes the structure so much, which is why you need about 4 or 5 different tablets, at a time to actually kill it. Because if you expose it to 1 or 2, tablets, then it is able to maneuver around those. So the cleverness of the germ,
mm-hmm.
the fact that it can stay in certain parts of the body latent, just like the HIV germ can, you can do nothing about it when it is hiding in those areas. So all of these things are making TB still a very, very serious problem today as it was 100 years ago. Yes, a lot of strides have been made in terms of dealing with it. I mean, in the South African context, we've been able over the past 11 years or so to reduce, the deaths, significantly, but also the new infections to reduce them significantly, But still, it is a problem, So that is what we are really, really dealing with, a very, very clever germ. And we've got high levels of poverty in our country.
Mm-hmm.
And we tend to see a lot of association of TB, with situations of poverty. And if you add in HIV, it's comrade, then we have a serious problem. It's a problem in this country.
Yeah, absolutely. Dr. Nyathi, talk to us about the effects of TB, on a person's body. you know, what can be the outcomes of having this illness, but most importantly, the effects as well of a TB tuberculosis regime discontinued or not completed?
Well, I think what's important is to know that this is largely, you know, a respiratory disease. The transmission from one person to the other is mainly through droplet spread, which happens to be the same way that a COVID-19 is spread. You know, so it's through droplets. Now, so when somebody gets infected with TB, the system that is often affected is the respiratory system. And so when somebody, you know, doesn't have immunity, or the person is malnourished, you know, so they are unable to fight the germ. So the germ, you know, establishes itself in the lungs. And when it does that, it's usually in the upper part of the lungs, what we call the apex. And normally it causes destruction in that area of the lungs, which may even cause cavities in that area, which damages the lungs, and the lungs get to be severely scarred. But it can also spread through the whole, you know, all the parts of the lung, causing more serious illnesses. So, so the big problem then with TB is the fact that it affects the respiratory system, you know, in the main, but it can spread beyond the respiratory system, you know, to the, you know, the covering of the brain, what we call the TB meningitis, the brain itself. And in fact, any part of the body can be affected. Many females who've had TB of the womb or the fallopian tubes, they've got problems with infertility, you know. So basically every part of the body can be affected by TB. I'm just highlighting the more common ones, which is the respiratory system, the reproductive system, you know, the brain area. Because, and there are a lot of people, as a result of the illness from TB, they die, or if they don't die, they are left with, you know, residual complications, like I've just mentioned, the infertility problem, or the problem with the scalp, in the brain.
Let's talk about the global community under the banner of the World Health Organization, setting a rather ambitious target of ending tuberculosis by 2035. Now, you mentioned, of course, that we've known about or identified TB and the ways to treat it for almost 140 years ago, and we're still dealing with this illness. So what is part of this, the targets for ending TB by 2035? What do medical communities and the WHO have in mind?
Well, you know, it's a very ambitious target, but sometimes it's important to set, you know, a stretch target like this one. Basically, the world community, you know, agreed that by 2035, there must be a reduction in the number of deaths by at least 95%.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so currently we have 1.4, 1.5 million deaths per year. They also want new cases to be reduced by 90%,
mm-hmm.
you know, compared to what it was in 2015. So those are hectic, you know, targets, considering that, you know, some of the drivers that are actually, you know, propagating this, you know, disease are actually getting worse. I mean, the issue of poverty across the world is getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the issue of HIV, we still have a problem with that. And issue of treatment adherence is still a problem. So, yeah, but anyway, those are the ambitious targets that the globe has set, strategic targets, and everybody is supposed to work towards these targets.
And, you know, obviously in working towards these targets, there need to be measures in place. What has our tuberculosis messaging and national campaigns looked like as a country? Could they stand to be more comprehensive? Could they stand to be more aggressive? What have we done so far as a country?
Look, we see a lot of public health education around TB. During this time of the year, you know, around in the build-up to March, but also around World AIDS Day, that is in December. But I think more still needs to be done to make people aware that TB is still here. TB actually kills. And even more focus on early detection. Early detection and adherence to treatment. Because I think sometimes these messages, they get to be, forgotten by the community as we focus on other things, non-communicable diseases and other issues that, that afflict our country. So we need ongoing public messaging that increases awareness about TB, how to prevent it, how to early detect it, the symptoms, and the importance of adherence to treatment, because the complications are also, drug resistance amongst those who stop taking treatment, which becomes even much, much more difficult to treat. And it presents a serious public health problem for, the community. So we need more public health education ongoing, not just, at different times of the year.
Mm. How has the COVID-19 pandemic impacted our TB response over the past year? How has that been impacted? Because we know that globally, when it comes to things like immunization drives, most countries have seen a dip in parents getting children immunized. And that, I guess speaks to early detection and preventative measures that people would ordinarily take. So in terms of, that early detection that you're talking about, or even adherence to treatment regimes, what's happened in the South African context?
Now, in the South African context, we've had a situation. We are in a country with an incidence of 700 cases per 100,000, population, which is one of the highest in the world. Now, COVID-19 has actually created a situation where previously we had a number of about 150,000 people who are undiagnosed every year. Mm-hmm. It is now estimated that those numbers have increased, but people are reluctant to go to health facilities. But the much more objective measure is that, between April and September, that is the 6 months last year, April and September last year, there was a reduction by 50% in terms of the number of people who were tested for TB.
Mm.
So the services to test for TB were underutilized during that period. And so that is one objective measure to show that there was an impact during that hard lockdown that we had, around April, May, last year.
Mm.
So that's one objective measure. But also, compliance to treatment has been a problem. A number of people who were on treatment dropped out of treatment during that period because, again, they were scared to get closer to healthcare facilities. And then the other measure, on the deaths now relating to COVID-19, there's a study that was done by the South African Medical Research Council, which actually showed that there's been at least 100,000 excess deaths mm-hmm. that are directly attributable to TB. During this time of COVID.
Mm.
So that has been the interplay between COVID-19 and TB. So certainly a major, major impact.
Yeah, very, very big. Those are some big numbers there, Dr. Nyati. But, I guess in many ways that lessons or takeaways that can be gleaned from this experience. And to that point, are there any opportunities or innovations that the COVID-19 response could potentially add towards the better management of our TB response, seeing as that both diseases largely affect the respiratory system and both are droplet spread? Any opportunities there? I imagine mask wearing for one and being cognizant of, coughing and how we do so.
Yes. I mean, I think the fact that because of COVID-19, we're able to implement certain measures that everybody must use, like masking. Now people are used to that idea. And I think for TB prevention, that can be something that can really be, used effectively to try and get reduction in the spread. That's number one. The fact that, South Africans have been able to follow those guidelines set by the National Department of Health.
Mm-hmm.
It means people, when the messaging is right, they are able to actually follow, you know, the messages. Now, you've got a lot of technologies that have come up, you know, the remote screening apps that have been used for COVID-19. Now, those kind of, you know, tools can also be expanded to use to screen for TB remotely. So those are just some of the things that are being suggested to be used during this time. But also the fact that pharmaceutical companies are able to work quickly to come up with diagnostics, to come up with new treatments and stuff. So the same kind of energy can be put towards getting better solutions for TB in terms of treatments that can be taken once a week, for a shorter period of about 3 months rather than the daily for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a couple of things that really could be learned from the COVID-19 global response, which if used for TB would help in ensuring that those targets for 2035 are actually achieved.
Dr. Nyati, before I let you go, anyone who's listening and, contemplating or trying to ascertain whether or not they should go and get tested, what are the symptoms they should be aware of?
Well, I mentioned that the most common presentations or system that's affected is the respiratory system. So when people have got a cough, a dry cough often, that are associated with night sweats, drenching night sweats, loss of weight, those symptoms, you should think seriously about TB. But outside of the respiratory system, you may have, headaches that are actually, continuous, and sometimes maybe associated with other neurological symptoms, but the key thing is cough, loss of weight, drenching night sweats.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you see those over a period of time, please see somebody in a healthcare facility.
Thank you so much for your time, Dr. Fundile Nyati. Really appreciate it. That's the CEO of Proactive Health Solutions. We'll chat to him again next Saturday.